From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 13th day of April. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the marketplace with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities and Greg Johnson of the Andersons. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo. We'll hear from Todd Hubbs from Illinois Extension about soybean exports, and we'll hear about the importance of having nitrogen in place at planting for corn from Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafs. On this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago today, corn futures finished down a quarter in the lead. May at 331 and a half, July at 336 at a quarter, a half lower in December. New crop down a penny at 349 and three quarters. May beans 9 1/4 lower at 854 and a quarter. July 862 at a quarter, 8 3/4 lower. In November contract down 5 1/4 for the new crop. It settled at 870 and a half. The bean oil down 51 cents. Bean meal $3.90 lower. Wheat futures July soft red at 555 and a half, down 2 cents for the day. Live cattle futures down the limit, $3 lower in the April at $91 even. Feeder cattle off 450 at 115, 2 1/2, and lean hogs were up 210 in the lead April, but the May contract down $3.75. It settled at 39.67 and a half. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here.
Well, I want to know about what happened in the bean market for the day.
Well, we saw beans kind of gave up some leadership here. I think we've priced in some short-term business for the most part to Asia. We're starting to see some corn and wheat sales being announced. And beans had a fairly good run, some spread unwinding. They sold the beans and bought a little corn, sold beans, and bought a little bit of wheat. But just uncertainty about the future in through here and the run-up we've seen. I think we're just seeing a correction. Probably the most encouraging thing is the corn market being able to kind of hold the recent lows in through here. We were able to come in and see the market record a weekly price reversal to the upside. And your one analyst from Indiana there came in and talked about the big full moon low. So hopefully that took hold in through here, and we can continue to build a base for those short time counts in through here. The monthly lows, the 15th, 16th coming up here this week. And so there's some optimism maybe we can hold together, but we're not going to be able just to rally out of the hole here. Buyers have their hands in their pocket. Sellers have their hands in the pocket. We're kind of in for a stalemate in through here for a while until we can see some demand pick up. The other thing that points to some concern, and it's been talked about and well advertised, now starting to hit home, is the meat sector in through here. These packing plants taking some downtime due to the employees contracting the COVID-19 virus, and it's going to back up supply back on the farm, and it's going to tighten up supply at the retail shelf. So we'll see kind of how that unfolds, but kind of reminds me when the mad cow concern first came out in the early 2000s. Grain markets opened limit down, traded sharply lower, but the trade realized that it's unlike milk just being able to dump, but we'll have to feed this livestock for a while, and the grain market quickly turned around and started putting in some additional feed demand due to that we'll have to feed these chickens, cows, hogs a little bit longer in through here. The key would be, though, feeding floor availability. We'll have to see how that unfolds. But if you're a consumer out there looking for some bargains, if you got some freezer shelf, maybe hook up to a livestock producer if you can line up a small slaughterhouse, packing plant, process some meat for you. There's some real bargains out there if you can buy directly from the farm. That's one thing to look into and through here. But with the livestock, you still got to feed them. Even though the ethanol plants are shut down, the concern now is the DGGs. We're still going to have to come up with some cornmeal or something to feed this livestock. So the bearishness of the ethanol usage is down, of course, But I think the feed, good old-fashioned feed demand from great corn and meal will pick up the slack and through here and kind of offset a little bit of this bearish tone on these plants being shut down. It's still a concern because the ethanol from the export sector and from the gas points, just a huge, huge, huge part of the supply-demand balance sheet. Now, if we want to be creative and look for solutions to the problems on this virus, if you look at what some of these other countries went through, they did have lockdowns, kept people separate, which we're doing here in the U.S. But one thing, they disinfected their country quite heavily, at least on the social media. It showed fairly aggressive spraying taking place. And this alcohol is the key to kind of controlling the spread of the virus and disinfecting. We think the corn growers, ethanol guys, would need to get President Trump's ear in here and maybe buy some of this ethanol, this alcohol, under a dollar, and do some massive, massive cleaning. Now, I'm not talking about the hog house, you know, or the water cannons, but it's awful hard for anybody to find a can of Lysol anywhere. And so I think that's the solution, to spend some extra money trying to clean the mess, other than trying to spray money around the country, having the average consumer trying to clean it up themselves.
Livestock prices were sharply lower today. I suppose that's just on those plants shuttering and really not needing to have animals heading towards the processing facilities.
Yeah, that's been a main concern all along. Now the reality's set in through here. We think here a day or two, then we can start to say, well, we sold the rumor, now we can buy the fact. But how long these plants stay shut down is an issue, and there's no need to buy anything right now. Even though a large percentage of the fats, particularly in the Western Belt, is already contracted, even these hog guys are already on contracts, there's still that unpriced formula that is a concern. So there's going to be some bargains if you can buy from the farm, but the retail shelf's going to get tight. In fact, we saw bellies, bacon, take a fairly good hit here, and the main concern was the restaurant demand went to zero, and this bacon virtually got under a dollar a pound wholesale, and now that bacon price is going to come out. So if you can find some bacon on sale, I'd grab some here fairly quickly, Todd.
And finally, there is a USDA weekly crop progress report out this afternoon. Do you have some numbers potentially for it? That'll come out about 3 o'clock today, Central Time.
Yeah, on the spring wheat, they're looking about 5% of the spring wheat being in the ground. The wheat condition, 62% good to excellent versus 62% last week. The thing in the wheat, watch this weather. It's going to get fairly frigid. I don't know if it'll set some of the wheat back here over the short term. But the main number is the corn. Corn condition, corn planting progress is expected to be 3% complete as a nation. The range is anywhere from 2 to 5% on that. But surprisingly, I believe the bean number might be 3%, because visiting with a lot of producers across the central belt in here, there's just a ton of beans that went into the ground. So we'll see what those numbers say. Still early in the season, and those are going to fluctuate quite a bit.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right, take care.
You too. That's Kirk Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, about 300 employees at a Smithfield site in South Dakota have tested positive for the coronavirus. That accounts for about 40% of all the cases in South Dakota. Smithfield Foods on Sunday announced that its pork processing plant in Sioux Falls, one of the largest in the country, would be closed until further notice. The closure of this facility, combined with a growing list of other protein plants that have shuttered across our industry, is pushing our country perilously close to the edge in terms of meat supply, said the CEO of Smithfield, Kenneth Sullivan. It's impossible, he says, to keep our grocery stores stocked if our plants are not running. Besides the impact on consumers, he also warned of severe, perhaps disastrous repercussions up and down the supply chain. Well, on that note, President Trump Friday said he's lighting a fire under USDA to get payments out to agricultural producers as soon as possible, with a focus on, quote, smaller farmers who are very, very badly hurting right now. Mr. Trump asked Secretary Sonny Perdue to expedite relief for the industry and to keep the food supply chain flowing smoothly amid massive financial and logistical hurdles. We're going to be working with the small farmer, the big farmers, the cattlemen, the ranchers, all of the producers, Mr. Trump said at a news conference on Friday. Congress last month in the $2 trillion CARES package included some $23 billion for USDA. The department has since been consulting outside economists and fielding ideas from industry groups about the best way to disperse the funds across the vast farm economy. And while Trump said at least $16 billion is on the way, the potential details in the coming aid package remain murky. That $16 billion, by the way, adds up to the $9.5 billion in what roughly looks like an ad hoc disaster aid package targeted by Congress to specialty crop growers and the livestock industry, and roughly $6 billion of the $14 billion in CCC fund replenishment that Congress put in place, meaning $6 billion is left to spend, and the rest of that money has already been allocated through the MFP program. Well, let's switch gears and turn our attention to production agriculture. There's one constant about nitrogen and corn for University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger. He says in order for corn to achieve higher yields, it needs nitrogen available at planting.
We need to make a real effort to get some nitrogen to those plants when they're small. And if we have 2x2 placement, on a planter, use that to provide nitrogen. The amount that we need isn't exact, but where we've put a third of the nitrogen on at the beginning and two-thirds back at side dress, we generally get lower yields than if we put two-thirds on at planting and then one-third on at side dress. And our preference is certainly to never see nitrogen deficiency in plants when they're 6 inches or a foot tall.
If you'd like to learn more about the appropriate rate of nitrogen to apply, you should visit the online nitrogen rate calculator. It's hosted by Iowa State University. Just search for in-rate calculator. There you'll find nitrogen rates for 7 Corn Belt states from Ohio to Minnesota. And finally today, you know, it's early April and farmers have been in the field and some are still wondering if they should go ahead and start planting. Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger last week said it was an okay idea.
I wouldn't discourage people from planting this week, but if they have a lot of work to do before they can plant on more of their fields, some might choose to do that instead of planting.
Nafziger says it doesn't matter too much which crop is put in the ground. Soybeans are more likely to tolerate the cold a bit better than corn. He'd opt to plant whichever fields are in the best condition first. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You know, for the remainder of the current marketing year, an Illinois Extension agricultural economist says the United States will need to average soybean exports of 26.2 million bushels per week just to meet USDA's current projection. Let's start with this fact from USDA's April soybean export forecast. The agency lowered it by 50 million bushels. Illinois Extension agricultural economist Todd Hubbs says, however, that this does not signal any overall weakness in global demand for soybeans.
It doesn't mean the world market for soybeans is horrible. We've seen Brazil do just a huge amount of exports in March, and it looks like they'll do it again in April for soybeans. And China's been sourcing out of Brazil, which I think a lot of us expected. They've got off to a slow start on our phase one trade commitments. But I expect as the year goes along, supply chains stay in place and we don't get in a huge political fight with them, that I think they'll try to meet their commitments, which will be support for soybean exports deeper in 2020.
Brazil's currency has been weak, and that's been helping along its export of all types of goods and commodities. Hub says the Brazilian real recently strengthened against the dollar, but still sits down some 25% from the start of the year. During the last month, Hub notes export inspections of soybeans averaged 16.5 million bushels per week. As of April 2, outstanding sales for the current marketing year totaled 193 million bushels. That's well below the estimated 566 million bushels required to meet the USDA projection. Now, China, by the way, holds just 17 million bushels of outstanding sales and looks to continue sourcing soybeans from Brazil over the near term. Last year, Todd Hub says, approximately 616 million bushels of U.S. soybeans were exported between April and August. China took 300 million of those. A repeat of that performance under some trying economic circumstances remains necessary, he thinks, to meet USDA's marketing year soybean export goal. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for asking me here, Todd.
You know, it was a really nice week last week. At least early on, we had a couple of those 80-degree days. Farmers were rolling. And to the surprise of many, they were planting soybeans, or a lot more soybean acres than they were corn. I don't think that has really to do anything with the corn-to-soybean price ratio or the number of acres that will be planted in general, just that it seems that soybeans are more corn or more cold-tolerant. And looking forward, it seems like they might need to be a little on the cold tolerance side. What are our lows like for this week?
Well, certainly for basically all of this week, temperatures will be cooler than normal to various degrees here across the Corn Belt. Specifically here in Illinois, it's looking like the next three mornings, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, will be the coldest. With this modified Arctic air, which is moved into the region, we are currently forecasting temperatures to drop to levels of 32 to 35 across much of the southern half of Illinois. As you go north of there, then temperatures will be dropping, you know, into that 32 to 28 degree range, with really far northern Illinois kind of being the area where, you know, could even see a few, you know, 26 or even 25 degree readings here coming up. But it is looking right now, based on the overall setup on these coldest mornings, that actually much of southern half or so of Illinois look to be either just at 32 or even a degree or two warmer than that.
And if you look further out, do we have a change next week?
Yeah, we certainly do. So this cold does look short-lived, granted anomalous, but as we go into next week, the jet stream pattern flattens, and that will result in a moderation or warming of temperatures. And it looks like readings get back to more seasonal levels next week. And so we even think even beyond that, for the early part of May, temperatures will either remain seasonable or even climb to warmer than normal levels. So this looks to be right now the really the coldest time frame here of April and of the onset of planting.
Over the next 10 days, is there much rainfall involved with these colder temperatures other than what we've already received?
A little bit of rain, even a little bit of snow in some of the northern areas here of the Midwest, but nothing that major. Actually, after today's storm system, then the additional systems coming through actually look pretty light and scattered. And in fact, when you add up the precip amounts, not only this week, but next week, much of the Corn Belt will have below normal precip amounts here. So again, with the exception of this week's cold temperatures, the overall planting pattern for the next few weeks looks pretty good here.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Any other place across the planet we need to check in on before I let you go?
Yeah, just one quick highlight on the Europe and Black Sea region dryness. The pattern is shifting a bit wetter for that region, especially the Black Sea wheat and corn acreage. and that will help at least improve soil moisture as winter wheat develops, as well as pre-planting soil moisture conditions there for corn.
Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse from Chicago, Illinois, joining us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's close out our time together by taking a look at what's been happening in the cash grain market with Greg Johnson of the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Greg. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, farmers, I suppose, have been in the field. Are they still in the field, or was that enough rain to keep them out over the next couple of days?
Well, it wasn't really enough rain from here on south. I think it was only 2 to 3 tenths, so people could go, but the forecast is awful cold for the next 3 or 4 or 5 days. So I think that cold weather forecast is keeping more of them out of the field than the actual rainfall that we had over the weekend. So a lot of field work was done. Not a lot was planted. We'll see our first planting progress numbers come out this afternoon, and I don't anticipate Illinois being more than a couple percent along, but doesn't look like we'll get much done this week either. Then hopefully next week, maybe we can get at it hot and heavy next week.
Have you heard much about corn or beans that was already put in the ground? I know I've seen photos of some beans that certainly have sprouted at this point.
Right. I don't think there was a lot of corn that went into the ground. The people that were planting were actually planting beans. I think probably 3 or 4 times more beans maybe got put in the ground than what corn did. So I haven't heard of a lot of corn being planted in the beans. We had a few days of warm weather that might have allowed some of them to germinate, some with the seed treatment. Maybe it didn't. So we'll just have to wait and see. It's still plenty early, so I think we've got time, and hopefully the weather next week straightens up for us.
And those with those beans that are germinated are saying, stay underground, stay underground, stay underground.
Yes, of course.
So tell me about the cash grain market at this time.
Well, basis levels continue to be under pressure in corn. Ethanol margins are negative. Plants are taking some downtime. And without that lack of demand for ethanol, corn carryout just continues to increase. Farmers don't like these prices. They're not selling a lot, but there's not a lot of demand on the flip side either. So basis levels are sideways to probably a little bit weaker. Hoping that something changes, but it sounds like on the coronavirus front, it's going to take weeks, if not months, before things calm down. So not looking for any dramatic improvements in the corn basis or the corn market anytime soon. On the other hand, we do have somewhat friendly news in the wheat market. Extremely cold weather over the weekend hurt the wheat crop out west, we think. Ukraine and Russia have been extremely dry the last several months. So they've actually limited exports to some extent on their wheat. So a few friendly things in the wheat market, but nothing that would transpire into corn and the bean market. We were starting to see China buy a little bit, but then the stories came out about maybe a resurgence of African swine fever, and that has put a damper on the bean market today. So the funds are long wheat, they're short corn, and they're basically even beans, and that given the fundamentals that we just talked about, that's probably why the funds are probably content to stay in those positions for until something changes.
We'll call you next week, and hopefully it'll be a bit warmer.
Thanks. Sounds good. Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon.